Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from a very, very cold Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where we just got done with our first ice storm in 20 years. This is Dr. John Stamey live with the Sorcerer's Dictionary. It is so good to be here. And my buddy from Cullman, Alabama, the guy that's in charge of the Cullman Cabal, his name is, and your name is, sir?
It's Jason McClendon here.
We're glad that you're here, Jason. We're gonna have a blast. You picked a topic that I really, really like, and it's one I guess you could call my area of expertise. And you've got a lot of expertise in this thing too. So what we're gonna talk about tonight is, if I can find it here, we're gonna talk about psionics, and that's a great, great topic. So since this is the Sorcerer's Dictionary, I'm going to read a definition that our buddy Google gave to us. Are you ready for that, Jason?
Go for it.
Okay. Psionic. In American science fiction of the 50s and 60s, psionics was a proposed discipline that applied the principles of engineering, especially electronics, to the study and deployment of paranormal or psychic phenomena such as telepathy and psychokinesis, okay? So basically it's using engineering to deploy psychic powers. Now, to give everybody a little background, I want to go back to the great J.B. Ryan, Dr. J.B. Ryan of the Ryan Institute that was at Duke University until I think the late 80s. And J.B. Ryan introduced, of course, the term ESP, extrasensory perception, one of the most popular terms of all in the whole world of psychic phenomena and everything, so we know what that is. But J.B. actually got a lot of money from corporations because he told them that he thought that he could use ESP to make them more money. And that also included using electronics. So he was really, I mean, while we talk, say American science fiction, well, no, J.B. Ryan was doing this since the 50s. And not only that, Dr. T. Galen Hieronymus got a patent for the Hieronymus machine, which is nothing but startling. Nikola Tesla said it was one of the most phenomenal things he'd ever seen, and what that machine did is it operated on vibrations and frequencies to do things like kill bugs and do all kinds of things. And in Britain, they use it for medicine to help cure cancer. Of course, in the United States, we're not allowed to use psionics because it's against the law. They want to make sure that the doctors and, of course, Pfizer and Moderna and that whole bunch of people can make as much money as they can. That's what the government wants. That's what our government wants to do, and let them just bring the men in black here and shoot me. But it's a fact. So that's what we've got. We've got two major instances that psionics is very real and has been used for commercial purposes. One, Dr. J.B. Ryan of the Ryan Institute. And the other one, Dr. T. Galen Hieronymus. And I know that to be a fact because his eye doctor, Dr. Sharpton of Clayton, Georgia, who did surgery on Dr. Hieronymus, told me that was the truth. I've got a book around here somewhere, was right over there on my bookcase, that talks about the Hieronymus machine. But Dr. Sharpton, who's a former president of the Georgia Optometrists Association, told me it was true. He's the man. So Google may say it was in American science fiction. It was real. And if you got any questions, call me, 843-655-8775. Again, 843-655-8775, and I'll argue with you until I drop. How's that, Jason?
Oh, that sounds pretty solid.
Well, it is pretty solid, and that's probably the first time that's ever been presented on a podcast that I've ever presented that, and I'm glad it's on Sorcerer's Dictionary because it's for real. And, you know, when I'm going to say one more, make one more opinionated comment, but when I talk about ESP and I talk about, you know, extrasensory perception, and I talk about all the paranormal stuff that I do and that I believe in that I've experienced, it's funny, people don't really look at me like I'm a dumbass, pardon my grammar, but they look at me because I think they're afraid to say anything because I say it with such conviction. I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say. From a guy that has been abducted by aliens, from a guy that has seen Bigfoot over 20 times, from a guy that has his mother come by and visit every once in a while, and she passed away 30 years ago, you know, I've got some pretty strong opinions about this whole psychic world, I guess this whole psionics world, and it's a fact. So if anybody wants me, 843-655-8775, call me and yell at me. Back to you, Jason.
Hey, be careful. Richard Dawkins might take you up on that.
That's fine. I'll take all comers.
We'll have it on the podcast.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, sure. You know, everybody's got my number now, so you can hear it now forever on the podcast. Because so that everybody knows, once we do this podcast live, it is also recorded, and you can listen to it forever. Just use the same link on our Facebook page. So that's what everybody needs to know.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's some interesting stuff there. The Hieronymus. I'm very curious about the Hieronymus machine. I've had a lot of experiences with psychic phenomena throughout the past, throughout my entire life, but very much more since I've been actively engaging with it since probably about 2014, 2015. Yes, I would agree that it is very much real. Yeah, but I'm curious as to the aspect of how that would work with electronic devices like the Hieronymus machine.
Well,
like that,
it first
that
of all, it is an electronic machine. I have seen where they manufacture these machines. I am not allowed to tell. I've been there when they've built them. I've watched them build them. I've seen, I can't divulge where it happens, but they sell them quite a bit in the northern Midwest, like in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, because they help kill bugs, they help kill pests. And what you do is there's a whole series of books online, and I printed them out. It cost me about $50 at Office Depot, but they have a list of frequencies to kill all kinds of insects and to cure cancer and everywhere else. So you set this thing, and Jason, when you and I are going to be doing a conference here in about 4 months, and I'm going to take you to meet with the people that manufacture them, and it will change your life like it changed mine. It's all for real. It sounds like saying the tooth fairy is real, but come on, there is a tooth fairy. There are fairies. And in fact, I'm getting ready to put up on, in fact, I'll put it on Sorcerer's Dictionary while we're talking. There is a video of a fairy flying in front of a house. It's on Coast to Coast AM. And if you're all right with it, I'm just going to, because I post things on Scarycast too, I'll give a big plug for Scarycast, the world's greatest paranormal podcast. Well, this is the world's greatest sorcery podcast, but I'll post it on here while we're talking at some point, and everybody can see a picture of a real fairy flying by a house. And they're real. Everybody just needs to just chill out and know that they're real.
Yeah, I saw something in here in my kitchen yesterday. I don't know if it was a fairy or what it was. The fairy was the first thing that came to my mind when I saw it. I was in the kitchen, and I felt something tap me on the head. And I, like, look up, and when I look around, I see a distorted part of a distorted piece of space just flying around. And I was just like, what is that? The first thing that came to my mind was a fairy, but I had never really had any known conscious experiences or encounters that I can define as being with a fairy. I know some friends of mine that work with the Fae on a much more personal level, but I've never had a personal encounter, so I'm not really sure what to make of what that was.
Oh, and by the way, when I take you, because again, I can't tell where this stuff is, otherwise the places would be flooded, but I can take you to the land of the fairies, and you will be shocked. I have pictures. I really do have pictures of all this, and we'll probably get some pictures when we're there. So, I mean, they're Bigfoot there. They're fairies there. It's amazing. So all everybody has to do is they have to watch our appearances, and you can come find us. And at one of those, Jason and I will vanish for about a day, and I'm going to take him to see everything. It's going to be wonderful. So everybody has to figure it out themselves. I can't tell. It's like I can't tell you where the Bigfoot are, although I'll tell you they're everywhere. But I can't tell you exactly where to go see them. There are two spots that I know that I've had all my Bigfoot encounters. And so I can't tell because, first of all, if I tell, you're going to have Bobo and that whole bunch of Bigfoot explorers coming out with their guns trying to shoot one, and we don't want that. We don't allow that. At least Robin McRae and Igor Burtsev and I, we don't allow that. So we can't tell where the Bigfoot are. But I can certainly tell you my stories, and they're kind of cool. All right, so yeah, Jason, I don't know if I answered your question or not. I feel like someone on a cooking show. I don't know if I did what you thought I was going to do, but I did what I did. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's all good. That sounds like an exciting adventure.
Oh, it's going to be an exciting adventure.
I was a fairy or not?
For sure. Based on my experience, what you saw was a fairy, or it was probably a fairy that had not materialized, okay?
Right.
And those do happen. They really do.
All right. Awesome. Well, the stuff you were telling me about the Hieronymus machine, all these frequencies that can cure cancer, they can kill these different insects and all. And there's a certain field in the occult sciences that I've taken up a very deep interest in and would like to get started in practicing at some point. But all of that reminded me of it, and I'm sure it plays its part in some way, but it's the science of alchemy. And allegedly, I haven't looked too deep into it, but allegedly, that the methods of the alchemical doctors are what most today would say is impossible to do, because they heal stuff like that. They heal cancers and different neurological disorders and things like that using methods that, no one would – it wouldn't make any sense if you were looking at it from a strictly, in a strictly materialistic sense of modern science. I don't really know what I'm talking about, though. But
I know exactly what you're talking about, because modern commercial medicine doesn't want anything to do with that.
Right. Yeah. I just think it's really neat, because the frequencies that can do all those things, and that's part of what the alchemists do in their practices. They alter frequencies and things like that using radionics technology. And so I think that's fascinating. And
it sounds like Well, it sounds like you need to clue me in on some of this, because I'm not, believe it or not, I am not nearly adept at this as you are, and we can do some research together. That's which we're probably going to be doing the rest of our lives. But I will share with you what I know, and then maybe we can talk with the people that manufacture the Hieronymus machine. You got to know exactly where they are, and they don't have a sign out in front of their building, I'll tell you that. It was, how can I put it? I was led to it. There was no sign there, and I knew I was supposed to go in that building. And it's like damn Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory. It really is. And it's just about the coolest thing in the world. But you have to know where to go, because there's no sign there. And again, I can't tell. I mean, you know, Men in Black know probably. But, I mean, I can't tell where that place is. I can't even tell the town. But I'll take you there, and we'll enjoy ourselves for a little bit, and then we'll go to the land of the fairies and Bigfoot, and that will be interesting.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, they're there, and I mean, and it's a matter of, you can't tell this stuff when you find it. It's like, you know, when they go out and do these ghost hunts on television, they talk about some tavern in Savannah and whatever. They don't tell you where the real ghosts are. I mean, they don't, because no, they can't. They just can't do that. And my buddy, I'm going to go see him this coming weekend, Mike McIntyre, up in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. And you know what? We're really weird. You know what we do all day long, Friday and Saturday and Sunday? We sit and watch Travel Channel Paranormal, and that's all we do. And his family, one time, we're just sitting there staring at the TV in the basement watching it. And one of them coughed, and I looked around, and I had five people, and they said, "We always wondered what you guys did down here. You're watching television." I said, "That's what I told you we did. We watch television. We watch paranormal stuff on the Travel Channel. Now go away." And they all laughed, and they got out, you know. I mean, but it was funny. I mean, you know, some of us are just very interested in that. In fact, right now I am missing because of this marvelous ice storm. I'm missing the Fear Expo in Owensboro, Kentucky, and I'm missing the New Hanover Paracon in New Hanover, Virginia. And it's terrible that I had to miss this, but I tell you what, I wasn't gonna drive in the ice. So some voice said, "Don't do that, or you'll end up dead." And I'm not gonna do that. Heck no. I'd rather go exploring in the spring when you come over here to Parts Unknown, as we call it in the wrestling world. You'll come up to Parts Unknown, and I'll show you where all the stuff is. But anyway, I know I didn't answer your question but I'd asked you, I guess, a little bit about, teach me about alchemy, because, by the way, do you know why alchemy was declared illegal? Do you know the exact reason? It's startling.
I don't, actually. What's that? Why is that?
Okay. The British Crown knew that alchemists actually could transform base metals into gold, and they had seen it. So what they decided, they said, well, if they do that, then all of our gold is going to depreciate in value. There's going to be too much gold. So what they did was they said, if you are involved in alchemy in any way, shape, or form, we will torture you and kill you. And that kept a lot of people from doing alchemy, or at least doing it out where they could do it. But, I mean, alchemists still, and I believe, from what I've read, they can transform base metals to gold. However, and it's just a matter of changing electrons. It's not like it's any kind of a big secret how to do it. I mean, the United States government knows how to do it. But the fact is, the British Royal Crown made it illegal because they were afraid they were going to lose money. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. What time period was that?
I think 1640.
Okay, so in the 1600s, that's interesting. There's actually
that's about right, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's crazy. And one of my favorite magicians, his name is Franz Barden. He was I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. A Czech magician, and he was also an alchemist. He wrote a book called Initiation to Hermetics, and I'll tell you that if you want to like develop your psychic powers, he lays out a sure and solid and very egregious training regime for doing so, but he was alchemist.
At the end of the show, please shoot me a text with his name and the name of that book, would you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And for anyone listening, if you didn't catch that, that's Franz Barden, FranzBardon. The book is Initiation into Hermetics. It's a bit of a dry read. He was a mechanic as a profession, and you can kind of definitely see that very structured and mechanical style in his writing, but he's very, very knowledgeable and conveys this information very well. But
in other words,
anyways,
is it going to read like a book by Dion Fortune? We love Dion Fortune, but her books are right up there with that. They're pretty dry.
Yeah, his writing style is along those lines. It's a bit easier to understand, but it is about that along those lines of being dry. You know, he wrote that in the early 1900s. You know, he was actually imprisoned by the Nazis because he wouldn't do magic for them. And so they imprisoned him and a few of his disciples. But,
did he get out?
Yeah, he ended up getting rescued. And then he was imprisoned later again in Russia, I believe. He was imprisoned by the communists, and he ended up dying over there. It was because occultism had been made illegal, and he got
tried for that. So they make illegal exactly what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, weren't they actually involved with the psychic and ESP experiments like before the Stargate project, before we even started doing that?
Absolutely they were. And, I mean, it's like the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, they just got rid of him just to get rid of him because again, I am guessing he probably didn't do magic for them.
Hmm.
I would guess that is the reason for his demise. I mean, I'll see if I can mind speak with him while we're on the show. He said, yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Mm.
You know, I'm sorry, thank you, Robin McRae, for teaching me mind speak. But no, he said, absolutely, that's why he died. They starved him to death. They just let him die.
Wow.
He wouldn't do magic for him. That's what he said. At least that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be a pretty common thing amongst those in power when they find someone like that with that special skill and knowledge. I think you can even read some examples in the Bible. I can't name any off the top of my head or anything, but I recall some of them that they're there.
And I can't remember the saint who ascended into heaven. It's in 1 Kings.
Is that Elijah?
Yeah, Elijah. In First Kings. I mean, you know, he didn't have exactly the world's easiest life. Thank you for Elijah. I mean, the book of Elijah is, there is no book of Elijah. The book is 1 Kings, 1 and 2 Kings in the Old Testament. And it's just very, very interesting. I read it actually not too long ago, maybe a couple of months ago. It was kind of interesting. But anyway, yeah, those that can do magic have been persecuted quietly.
Yeah. Seems to be just because they wouldn't do it for the ones that wanted them to.
Seems to be.
That makes me really, like, wonder, like, since the CIA Stargate project, did that ever stop officially?
Officially it stopped. Of course, it's still going on. Well, you know it is.
Right.
They have trained remote viewers that look over across enemy lines, and that's why we know what's going on in North Korea. I mean, we do because we have remote viewers that do it. I mean, I'm not quite that adept at all, but I do know. I mean, I can do a little bit of mind speak. Thank you, Robin McRae. In fact, we'll have Robin on our podcast sometime soon, get her to talk about mind speak. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think people would
enjoy
it. That'd
be awesome.
But
absolutely,
yeah, it's a weird world that we live in. It's like we have what the governments want us to know, and then what some of us know is the truth. And don't even go there with COVID vaccinations, because I believe this week the Moderna vaccine was no longer recommended because it causes heart inflammation. Well, so do all of them, but that's the only one. They had to pick the one that was used the least and say that. But, I mean, it's just, you know, we've got a lot of things, a lot of darky affairs. And when I say darky affairs, that is a phrase that comes back from the 1960s of using strange techniques, darky affairs, to get results. And, you know, boy, it sounds like a spell, doesn't it?
In a way, it kind of does.
I mean, that's what we discussed last week, and it was very interesting. And, you know, for all those of you that are following this podcast, we really kind of cover some interesting topics, don't you think, Jason?
I do. Yeah, sometimes, you know, seems like we can't cover it in enough depth in one episode.
Right, and then sometimes it seems like we can't tell what we know because we're not supposed to.
Right.
That's another story for another time. But anyway, yeah, it's all interesting. It's all good. And so now what other comments or questions do you have about psionics? Because that's kind of my area.
Yeah. I'm like interested. What do you think about, there are certain plants that, and I'm not necessarily talking about like psychedelics, like mushrooms or LSD or anything like that, or ayahuasca, but
ayahuasca.
Do what now?
No, nothing. I was just agreeing with you. And you and I said ayahuasca at the same time. It was funny.
All right. Yeah, there was an experiment that I tried back in 2015. I was drinking mugwort tea.
Oh, yeah. Please. I want to tell everybody, I'm going to stop you right now. This is a fantastic story. This is one of Jason's best stories that he's ever told me. And I just want everybody to be prepared. This is like something that I was not prepared for. I'm sorry. I had to say that. I had to congratulate you before the story began. Get going, buddy.
Oh, you're fine. Yeah, it was a freaky experience. But I had started drinking mugwort tea, and
now real quickly, I'm going to ask questions as you go. How do you make mugwort tea?
The way that I did it is I got this little steel tea ball that you can get from Walmart or any like dollar store. I put the loose herb in the tea ball. I would heat up some water, pour it in a cup, and then I would just steep the mugwort in the hot water until it cooled off a good bit, and then I would just drink it like that. It does not taste the best.
Now, first of all, where does one buy mugwort?
Really, any place that has loose herbs. You can buy it online fairly easily. There's a little shop around here locally called Zero Gravity that has it. And there's another shop in Birmingham called Magic City Conjure. They carry it. But it's part of the same.
Right.
It's part of the Artemisia.
So, I guess what I'm saying is you can buy it at basically any metaphysical shop, right?
Right, at least the ones that I've experienced, yeah. And then it's also online fairly easily.
Okay. So you buy it.
Yeah.
You put it in the little ball
and
you steep
it.
Now, what does it taste like?
It's not great. It's pretty bitter. Not as bitter as wormwood, but which is mugwort's cousin. But it's still somewhat bitter. It's tolerable, though. I'll say that. It's revolting. It is a tolerable.
Let me ask you this. Could you put stevia, which is a sweetener? It's a South American sweetener. Could you put stevia in it?
I'm sure you could. I never did personally, but I'm sure that you could. And it would probably help it some. But it's
okay.
It's just a bitter flavor. It's just not that great. But like I said, it's tolerable, though. If you want to try it with stevia, that would, you know, be worth a shot if it makes it easier to drink. But anyways, I had started drinking that because, you know, it's supposed to help you increase your psychic abilities because of its correspondence to the moon. And the moon being the planet in classical astrology that rules over psychic visions and dreams. And so I had a few lucid dreams once I started drinking it. And I was also doing these special meditations where I would visualize a vortex opening up on my forehead and shining light into my brainstem area. And I would feel that buzzing, and I would alter my breathing to become as it becomes when I'm falling asleep. Just that sort of deep, natural breathing. And all of this together, you know, stimulated something in my mind. And I began to almost zoom in on things, while, of course, also drinking the mugwort tea like every day. My mind would zoom in on things. It was like I would be standing there. I would look at some gravel, and then I would notice all the fine details. It was like my mind would zoom in on it. But other than that, I started getting some anxiety, and I started having these crazy dreams. I started dreaming of things that were happening, and I didn't really know how to handle this. At the time, this was at the beginning of my psychic journey, and I had just opened the floodgates of psychic perception, and it threw me for a loop. I remember having this dream. In my dream, we were at a friend of mine's house named Tony, and his house was infested with maggots. And I thought that was really weird. Then a few days later, we go to my wife's uncle's house, whose name was Tony. and there were those little, I think they're called army worms, all over the ground. And I had made a comment that caterpillars are butterfly maggots. And so then I noticed that Tony's house was infested with butterfly maggots. Different Tony, different kind of maggot, but still, I thought this was a little odd. Then I had a dream about my friend, or he'll remain nameless. We'll call him Roy. I had a dream about my friend Roy. We used to train and stuff together. We'd go out in the woods and spar, and we'd go and work out and stuff. Well, I had this dream where there was this very dark feeling, and I found him, and I was like, hey, man, let's go and train in the woods. And he just looked at me with this face and said, man, what's the point? And then I just felt this deep weight on me, like, what is the point? And when I woke up, I texted him to make sure he was all right. I was like, hey, you okay? And then a little bit later, I'm outside and I touch the tree in my front yard. And as soon as I touched the tree, my phone vibrated and I knew that it was him. Pulled it out and it was him. And I asked him how he was doing. And then he proceeded to tell me that he was joining the military because he was losing his mind and that he was either going to kill himself or kill someone else, and that he was joining the military so that he could kill someone else legally. And he was just telling me about how he didn't see any purpose to anything, well, like he said in the dream. And so this was starting to spook me a little bit by this point. And some of the other things that I saw that ended up coming to pass, I'd rather not speak on the podcast. Some of the stuff that I'm still seeing play out right now. And so, but yeah, it was an experience that a lot of it really threw me for a loop. And it took me about a year and a half to get my head back on straight.
So basically you saw these things in lucid dreams that are starting to come true now?
Yes, some things that are starting to come true now and some things that have already happened, you know, after I had dreamt them and everything. And then I also was able to detect someone astral projecting into our apartment at the time. I was able to detect their presence, and then when I confronted them about it, they, you know, we're like, yeah, okay. They admitted that they did that. So, but it was a trip. But you know, it's very real. The psychic perceptions, and that was just me loading my brain up with these meditations and that tea. But not learning how to control it or anything like that, just opening up the perceptive gates. So I definitely would advise anyone who wants to, you know, develop their psychic faculties to do it in a controlled manner.
Well, yeah, you got to be careful.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'll say, if you got any questions, since psionics is kind of my area, if you got any questions for me about psionics?
Oh, yeah, that was actually why I had gone into that whole story, my bad. I was wondering what your thoughts on the mugwort tea were, like, and how that worked in regards to increasing psionic abilities.
Well, obviously what it does what a number of drugs do, but it's not illegal. And, you know, I guess maybe I might try some mugwort tea. How long was it? How long did you drink it before you started having the specific mugwort tea lucid dreams?
Probably a week.
Oh, okay. So it was pretty immediate.
Yeah, I drank it in the morning. I drink it in the evening before bed because it relaxes you. And in some cases, it would actually enhance my hypnagogic imagery while falling asleep.
Okay. So you just drink it before you go to bed and go to bed. And now that, what's interesting is, did you ever wake up during the night?
Yeah, I think a couple times. I can't remember to say for sure, but I'm pretty sure that I have woken up a time or two.
The reason I was asking is because I've got in our book that's coming out this week on Amazon, I've got some hints on how to remember your dreams, and I was wondering if you. Had you been on that program, would you have been able to have woken up enough to jot some things down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, you remember your dreams more whenever, or at least I did in my experience with it.
Okay. All right, that's cool. So we might have to check that out. We might have to do an experiment and see. How long were you on
all
the
right.
Red Ward team? Was it like a year, a month, or what?
Oh, no, it wasn't long. Like I said, about a week. And I had drank it on and off before just at various times, but just not like I was doing it at this particular time with doing it a lot. Or not like a lot, but like once a day, which is a lot. But after I started having those crazy dreams, I stopped, and I stopped doing the meditations because I couldn't handle the load that my mind was picking up on. But I think it's probably, as I said, that stuff started after about a week. I'd say about another week after that was when I finally decided. I was like, no. But, I mean, it took a while after that for everything to really sort of level out anyway. Like I said, about a year and a half before things really started to level back off again. So.
Wow. That's absolutely a long time.
Yeah, it was. Like, I have had, like, mental health issues as a teenager, but you know, as an adult, I got the handle on a lot of those things. But after that experience, it really sent me into a bit of a relapse.
Wow! So it was that powerful.
Oh yeah, it was very powerful. But like I said too, it was uncontrolled, and I had never really experienced anything that profound before. So I just kind of went in recklessly.
Well, you've got to go in some way, don't you?
True. And I mean, it was a learning experience. I won't deny that.
Right.
I would just advise anyone like who's looking to get into it just to do it in a bit more of a controlled manner. But those are still good tools to use, those meditations and the mugwort tea and everything. You know, as long as they're used intelligently and not, you know. But I mean, who knows if, you know, you're ready for it. You know, not everyone is me, so someone else might, you know, be perfectly fine with doing that. So it may all be up to the individual.
Right. Well, that makes sense. So word of warning, be careful about mugwort tea. If you think you're ready, you better think you're ready, otherwise you're not. Correct?
Right. It should be respected, definitely.
Right. And so do you have any more questions for me since this is kind of my area?
What technologies do you think psionics could be used for? Like, what kind of new technologies do you think may be developed or could see development at some point? Any ideas for anything that you have, like, that you would like to develop, like any inventions or any type of technology that would go along
with the field of
psionic?
I think that I will need
field of psionic.
To do more research and talk to these people that are making psionic devices before I even venture forth with an answer. I haven't done enough research on that, but it is very interesting. And it is. So I would say let's just wait and see on that one. I'm going to have to, you know, this spring 2022, when I go into one of these areas and start talking to these folks that make it, and I'll see what I can get out of them and try to learn what can be done and go forth from there. Might not be much of an answer, but that's the only answer I've got right now.
Oh yeah, that works. It's just, I wonder like how this field could be expanded, you know, in regards to technology. It's really interesting stuff.
Well, it could be expanded a lot if the government wouldn't put a clamp on it like they're doing right now. So.
Right. I've actually listened to this one guy talk about his practice as an alchemist, but also how he uses radionics and the Hieronymus machine. He doesn't use it in the illegal way, or I guess the way that is considered illegal for medically. But he does it for research purposes with his medicine, and he's helped him to develop better medicine and better tinctures and everything for treating the people that come to him. So it's really interesting. Like, I think I remember hearing and reading something about how it has a little well that you put things in, correct? And you turn the dial while putting your fingers on a pad to feel for the stick sensation. And then that kind of gives that, whatever the stick sensation comes up on, that's the number that particular thing resonates at. Yeah, he had developed, or he had done something to adapt his machine and turn it into almost like an oracle of sorts that you could enter questions into, and you could set the dial to 100, and it would give a number between 0 and 100, 0 being absolute no and 100 being absolute yes. And it was really interesting because it was on another podcast I was listening to. It was real interesting how they would ask these questions, and then, you know, it would give them these new numbers for answers as like either yes or no, and it was almost like on a spectrum of 0 to 100%. Yeah, they were asking all kinds of questions, and, you know, this thing was just giving numbers that, for the most part, if you know anything about the particular topics they were asking about, it was pretty spot on. So it's really interesting. I kind of want to know how he got that to work and how the Hieronymus machine can be adapted for those purposes.
Well, those are great questions, and we can explore them this spring. Absolutely.
All right. All right. That's awesome.
You got any more questions?
None really in particular, just things that I guess we could just keep on a conversation for a while about. But it's been a really good discussion.
Well, it certainly is, and it's just, you know, some interesting stuff. But we've only got about 10 minutes left, and I guess what I'll say is it's been wonderful talking about psionics and a little bit about radionics and this whole world of T. Galen Hieronymus and the outlawed machines that the United States government will not allow us to use to cure a lot of things, but that's okay. It's being done. I mean, I can tell you it's being done by a lot of people. for a lot more people than you would know. And it's, as usual, it's been wonderful talking with you, Jason. I always learn a lot when I do talk to you. And we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, here on Sorcerer's Dictionary. And our definition today is for radionics and psionics. And just check out our website. Just go to sorcerersdictionary.com, and that'll lead you right to our Facebook page, which is Sorcerer's Dictionary on Facebook, and you can check out the definition. You can learn a lot, and like I learn a lot every week from Jason. So it's a lot of fun. And Jason, will you be back with us next week?
Absolutely. And hey, I learned a lot from you today.
Pardon?
I said absolutely, and I learned a lot from you today.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just telling you some things that I've learned over the years, and it's very interesting. So, look, we enjoyed it. Everybody have a good evening. If you're in one of these parts of the Southeast as cold as all get out, stay inside and turn your heat up because I'll tell you one thing, it is cold in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It really is. But have a great evening, a great week, and we'll talk to you next week on the one, the only, the Sorcerer's Dictionary. Talk to you then. Goodbye, Jason.
All right. Goodbye, John. Goodbye, everyone.